Grant McCauley.
Yeah, G-Mac, I call him.
The baseball
I don't think he wants you to call him that. Because, I mean...
Well, let's ask him.
It's kind of generic. Can you give him something better? Grant deserves better than that.
He took his wife's name in marriage? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he would be. Yeah, that's what he would be. That's kind of what you're saying. Grant, what say you?
It wouldn't really change much, but, yeah, no, I went ahead and gave her my name. That was just part of our arrangement here. So I've been called worse than G-Mac, though, for the record.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I of course, we got the Braves and the Phillies, but where'd the Mets come from? How are they winning 18-25? They were such an afterthought.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were able to head out to their local McDonald's play place and sign Grimace. And pretty much since he showed up at Citi Field,
it changed
everything that's gone on up there. And it sounds like a joke, but apparently they're taking that thing pretty seriously. But in all seriousness, they just have played a better and more consistent brand of baseball, something that I feel like we have talked a lot about the Atlanta club trying to do. They've just kind of hit their stride. And I think they were a club that was obviously going to reach a decision point this year of, are we going to try to hold on to Pete Alonso? Do we trade away a few players? Like, where are we exactly after Steve Cohen spent so much money a couple of years ago and the Mets seemed like maybe they were starting to, you know, position themselves as a power in the NL East, and then last year happened and everything went out the window. So they've kind of just come full circle is really what it looks like, and they're one of the many clubs that is alive and within four games of a wild card spot in the National League. So I think they're very much in a position to make the postseason, and a lot of clubs in the NL actually are, outside of a couple down toward the bottom. This is a very interesting race.
And we got like the evil Grant McCauley today, like painted his beard black like Hollywood Hogan, taking shots at the Mets and Grimace.
Yeah, looking for a blonde mustache out of Grant soon.
Grant, as we get ready for Michael Harris to hopefully come back soon, you know, I know that he's not started running yet, the last I heard. Where would he fill into the lineup? Because I don't believe you should move Jared Kelnick. So where would Michael Harris start hitting in the lineup once he does come back?
Well, the good news is that day before yesterday, Michael Harris did start running. So he has got that under his belt. But I still think we're tracking towards, obviously, a second half return, as the second half is pretty much, we're knocking on the door of the All-Star break. So that would make the most sense timeline-wise. I wouldn't rule him out hitting in the leadoff spot. I also wouldn't rule out maybe trying to figure out what you could do moving Austin Riley out of the fifth spot, moving him up some. Maybe Ozzie Albies could profile somewhere there in the middle of the order to help you out. I mean, I feel like at this point, you know, I'm not saying there's going to be a different lineup every single day because the Braves do like their continuity, but whatever's going on here, if from a consistency standpoint, a production standpoint, it just ain't working. And so it's not a panic move, but I think you do have to start thinking, all right, let's try a few different things. Let's maybe delve into the numbers, the splits, the matchups, which the Braves do a little bit of, and lean into that to see if maybe we can kickstart this offense. Because the bottom line is, about the time you get a couple of guys going, the way Kelnick has been, the way Austin Riley's going, now all of a sudden, you know, hits are a little bit harder to come by for Marcell Ozuna, and Matt Olson's going through another little slump. So that's just kind of been the story of the Braves. You get a couple of guys going, and then a couple of three more are trying to figure it out. Maybe two or three guys are kind of caught in between, and then you factor in the injuries. It just hasn't been the lineup that most people expected it to be. So I wouldn't rule out using Michael Harris. You could use him in the middle of the order somewhere in that 5-6 range. You could also use him at the top at 1 and 2. If you felt like going, you know, back-to-back lefty hitters, I don't know that the Braves necessarily want to do that at the top. But, again, without Ronald Acuna Jr., I feel like you just don't rule anything out because they need to find some answers. And in order to do that, they might just need to size up their personal inventory a little bit differently.
All right, Grant, you know I like to throw some of our Fair or Foul questions on Fair or Foul Friday at you when we get you on. And one of the ones we kind of talked about earlier was Fair or Foul, the Braves need to win 2 of 3 against the Phillies if they're going to have any shot at trying to make a run in the National League East. I think we all kind of veered towards fair, but what say you?
No, that's definitely fair. I mean, you have to look at the mathematics of the new schedule that MLB put into place last year as well. Rather than having 19 divisional matchups, you only have 13. The Braves and Phillies have 10 of those left. By some very simple math, the Phillies have been leading by 8, 9, sometimes 10 games this year. If you want to take a bite out of that lead, you're going to have to make the most of those head-to-head matchups. Now, you can still, as we saw even with the Braves in 2022, step on a banana peel after winning a series, lose one that you're not supposed to, while the Phillies are out there winning a series again, which would not be surprising based on how they're playing this year, and you could be right back at square one. But as far as head-to-head matchups are concerned, they do have to figure out as much as they can there and factor as much as they can there, I feel like, in order to have the best chance to at least make it competitive against the Philadelphia Phillies, who are showing no signs of slowing down, even without some of their best players.
Spencer Schallenbach, will he be the number three starter next year?
Oh, wow.
No, I don't believe so. I think there needs to be a bit better of a plan for the Braves than throwing Spencer Schallenbach into the middle of the rotation. Now, could he be competing for a spot? Absolutely. But will he be beyond the five? I find that hard to believe.
Grant, what was it, Wednesday night, Chris Sale goes on the mound. He's phenomenal again. But there was an exchange that I thought CJ Nikowski did a good job highlighting where he misses on a 3-2 count to Wilson Ramos, and he does a little bat flip. And then the very next time he gets Ramos up, it's another 3-2 count, and he rears back and throws a just, I mean, dot. Right on that inside edge.
Muttering something to himself, too, before release.
Yeah, and then he kind of does a little head shake afterwards. I always knew Chris Sale was a fiery individual. You heard the stories from Chicago and Boston, but what has been the most surprising thing for you, a guy that's been in that locker room, spending time with Chris Sale, what's been the most surprising thing about being around him since he's been here?
Well, I mean, I can appreciate how you framed up all of that. I cannot, though, claim that I've spent a lot of time with Chris Sale. He's not a guy that you necessarily see just floating around other than really on the day he pitches. You see him out on the field, you know, the camaraderie that he clearly has and has built with his pitching staff. He's fit in extremely well, but you knew the competitor. And the competitor is something that everybody either recognizes, talks about. Obviously, it's a big discussion point. He's just one of those guys that the way he goes about doing it, I feel like, kind of illustrates the edge that you can and maybe should have in a lot of cases. It works for him, and everybody else has, you know, a different motor and different personalities, all that kind of stuff. But I think it's nothing but a good thing to see that intensity on a regular basis. And clearly, I mean, the Braves pitching staff is doing the work that it needs to do. It's coming into this Philly series, fourth best in Major League Baseball in ERA. The Phillies are the only National League club, I believe, ahead of them at this point. I mean, the pitching is there. So Chris Sale has been a huge factor on that. And it's amazing to see when you start to look at where the Braves pitching ranks are and think about they've been doing all of this without Spencer Strider. But one of the big reasons they've been able to has been the resurgence, the renaissance of Chris Sale, who is healthy and just absolutely bringing it every fifth or sixth day.
Grant, you always have such a positive attitude toward the outlook on this team. And I know that you believe in everybody that's in place within this organization, the coaching staff, the players, whatever it may be. But I want you to put yourself in their shoes for just a minute. If you were Grant McCauley was the manager or the hitting coach for this offense right now, are there any tweaks or changes you would make? I mean, we've gone back and forth. I know it's a club that's built around power hitting, but it's been nice to see some bunts laid down from time to time or moving runners over. Is there anything you would do strategically to try to get this offense fired up in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think even when we've seen some of the runners get moved over and the lineup turned over in order to bring up guys, another fifth inning day before yesterday, I think against the Giants was a good example of you still got to have guys come through and get actual hits. And that's been a bit of a problem. The situational hitting, I don't know how you fix that. And I don't know that there's something that a coach can say or do or a video that you can watch or whatever the case may be that's going to adjust those results, unfortunately. And I'm just not really sure that anybody right now has a clear answer because it feels like it's like more than just one thing. It's, you know, some bad batted ball luck. It's some poor at bats. It's some, you know, I don't know, changes that the opposing pitchers maybe have made. Maybe it's the baseball. I'm not going to rule that out, but I'm not going to spend a ton of time, you know, crowing about it. But I am going to look at the numbers across Major League Baseball and tell you that that's a pretty stark change year over year, offensively speaking, but the pitching obviously factors in that as well. So it's kind of hard to figure all of it out. And if you're a coach, a manager, and if Brian Snitker has been, I think, the best at this that you can really ask for is you just have to continue to have faith in your players and their ability that they're going to be able to, you know, find their way through hard work and just grinding it out to get back to what you expect from them, because I've talked about this a lot on From the Diamond. I mean, there was no way to come into this year and be like, well, the Braves are going to score 950 runs again. They're going to hit 300 home runs. That's just who they are now. That is a career year for a club. That's a career year for a lot of players. Many things went right for that to happen. But even if you factor in a 25 or 30% regression, which, by the way, would still have them as a 220 to 240 home run team, scoring somewhere in the ballpark of 750 runs, you know, you would expect that to be acceptable. But the regression for the club in the overall sense, and I know this is turning into a very long answer, is just something that's hard to quantify and hard to figure out. And I would imagine for those guys who, it's not for lack of trying, you can throw some pressing in there as well. It's hard to really wrap your head around, and it seemed to have been hard to pull the nose up on the whole. So I throw all that out there to tell you that I know they're working on it. I know they're trying to figure it out, but the process and the waiting has been, I think, heavy on them, and obviously it's been heavy on the fan base. And you know, tough to watch when you see so many great pitching performances and even manageable, winnable games. I mean, the stats being thrown around a lot about how when the opponent scores more than four runs, since basically the end of April, the Braves haven't won a game. That's not the kind of stats that you want to have associated with your club, especially if you're one with postseason aspirations.
All right, quickly, Grant, Max Fried, of course, you know, Alex Anthopoulos willing to let Dansby go, willing to let Freddie Freeman go. But now with the realities, Charlie Morton's likely going to retire. Spencer Strider's not going to be available immediately next year. Does that really mean that maybe Max Fried comes back and gets the deal he wants?
It ratchets up the importance of Max Fried or whatever other, you know, corresponding move they're going to make, because, and I've even had people on social media, and I don't know how quick this is going to be, but I'll try to make it quick, who've been like, well, if you're not going to get anything for him and you're not going to resign him, you need to trade Fried right now and get somebody else in here so we can win. And I'm thinking to myself, how is that a part of the plan for winning this year and or keeping Max Fried around?
Absurd, yeah.
You know, throwing in the towel is not going to be part of what the Braves are looking to do. I mean, they're going to grind it out and try to get into the postseason and see what happens, because stranger things have happened than a club getting in as a wild card and making a run through to the World Series. But to go back to Fried, I still think he's of extreme importance to the Braves, both present and in the future. And I would love to see the scenario where they bring him back. And I would be very curious to see the scenario where you either A, replace or upgrade over a pitcher who's been as good as he has been and important as he has been for the Braves for as long as he has been.
Grant, thank you for your knowledge as always, my friend. Very, very thorough. And the long answer was needed because the whole thing is very befuddling to try to figure out. So thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
All right.